Welcome to Spatial Slipstream, the podcast about all things normal to weird and everything in between. This is your host, Jeff Sanchez. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining me on this little inaugural intro episode of mine, of a little show that I came up with called Spatial Slipstream. So, just a little bit of a background story. I thought for many years of starting my own podcast, never got to. Bought some equipment, nothing, you know, major, long time ago, and just never kind of came to fruition. So recently I've been watching and listening to a lot of different podcasts. There's a lot of hosts out there that I really admire and I enjoy their shows. One of the hardest things for me was to determine what subject I'm going to specialize in. And for the longest time, I was racking my brain. What should I do? What should I specialize in? And then I realized I have many varied interests. There's many different things that I love to read about and love to watch, documentary films and YouTube clips of many different things. excuse me, anything ranging from like ancient mysteries to the paranormal to religion. And literally everything in between. So I realized, why not just make a podcast about a little bit of everything? I'm one of those people that I love to absorb information, all different types of information. I know a little bit about a lot of different things. And in many ways, I take after my father for that, because my father was a very smart man and he loved learning about many different things. You know, philosophy, just arts and movies. And I have a lot of interests, ton of interests. And I go from one subject to the next as fast as we blink. So I figured, let's get this going. Let me talk about everything. Why not? As long as it entertains you, that's really what matters. So you can email me at spatialslipstream@gmail.com. Let me know what you want to hear, and I'll be happy to oblige if I know enough about the subject. And of course, if I don't know enough about the subject, I'll do some research, and if I'm interested, maybe we'll do a show about what interests you. In the meantime, one of the subjects that I do really enjoy is cryptozoology. And what is cryptozoology, you may ask? Well, here's the very definition right from Google itself. It's the study of animals that are legendary, extinct, or unknown, and whose existence is disputed or unsubstantiated. Now, that's the direct definition right from Google, which is perfect. Perfect definition, literally textbook. And here's some examples of what cryptozoological creatures are. Loch Ness Monster, the Jersey Devil, which is very famous here because I am in Jersey, born and raised. the Chupacabra, which literally in Spanish means goat sucker. Maybe I'll do a show about that one time, but I don't know enough about it. But again, I'll just do the research. And, something like Mothman, which was an incident that happened in West Virginia, I think in the 70s. Don't quote me on that. And my favorite cryptoid, which is short for cryptozoological creature, is Bigfoot, by far. So, Unfortunately, cryptozoology is considered a pseudoscience because it doesn't seem to follow the scientific method of proving something. Okay, so what exactly is the scientific method? And again, this is also from Google as well. Okay, it's basically a process of how we prove a fact scientifically. Number one is observation, question. Two, research topic area. Three, form a hypothesis. Four, test with an experiment. Number five, analyze data. And six, report the conclusion of the culmination of the first five. Okay. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Bigfoot. I'm going to share with you a pretty famous story about a Bigfoot incident here in the state of New Jersey. Now, I know what you're all thinking. The first thing that people think about who aren't from Jersey, when they do think about Jersey, they think, oh, New York City, city folk, pizza. People say Joyzy. Well, guess what? We don't say Joyzy here. Nobody says Joyzy. Okay, so let's get that out of the way. So people, the last thing people think about New Jersey is wooded areas. But believe it or not, I live in northern New Jersey. You go 45 minutes west, you're in the middle of nowhere. You're in the middle of the woods. Okay, so we're not quite city folk, but we're not hillbillies either. Okay, so here's a little bit of a tidbit of a famous story from the town of Wantage, New Jersey, which is in the northwest corner of New Jersey in a county called Sussex. Again, very wooded area, very beautiful, beautiful area. I love Sussex County. And this happened around the summer of 1977, where a family, the Sites family, S-I-T-E-S family, the matriarch of the family, Barbara Sites, found six of their family's pet rabbits dead or dying from horrific wounds. Okay, now, I know in very rural areas, a lot of people keep their pet rabbits outside in pens. I remember reading about this story originally, maybe in the late 80s, early 90s, when a friend of my brother's gave me this book from Reader's Digest. I think it was called Mysteries of the Unexplained. I wish I still had that book, but I devoured that book like you wouldn't believe. There's so many different stories in that book. And as I was reading, I remember I was really taken aback because it took place in New Jersey. But what happened was that this woman, Sites, found these pet rabbits mauled or mutilated, dead and dying, right in her yard. You would immediately think it was some type of predator, you know, fox, coyote, hawk, owl, anything could have done it. But apparently, this creature that did the damage to these rabbits was stalking them and was hanging around the property. So 3 nights after the rabbit incident happened, the entire family was armed trying to protect the property from whatever caused the death of these things. They didn't know. And one of the family members spotted two red eyes in the darkness in the woods. Okay, and supposedly they shot at it at a minimum of 30 times. 30 times. And the creature somehow escaped through an apple orchard. Okay. Now, this is the information that I found in Google, but in that book, the Unexplained Mysteries book from Reader's Digest, I do remember something specific that a few days after it was shot, One of the family members did see this large, hairy, brown creature struggling in the woods, almost with its arms outstretched as if it was wounded. How true that is, I don't know. That book was, I believe, written in the late 60s, early 70s. No, it's impossible because the story took place in 1977. So it was probably written around the 1980s, early 1980s. But I thought it was a fascinating story. And to tell you the truth, it scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. It really did because, you know, being from New Jersey and it's like, holy shit, is this thing in my backyard? But I live in a very urban area. There's no Bigfoot here, I assure you. Although one time very recently, maybe within the last 3 years, a black bear was spotted in my town. Weird, right? But anyway, back to the Stiles, the Seitz family. Excuse me, I keep saying Stiles. A few years later, that home burnt down. Unknown reasons. I couldn't find any information on how or why the house burned down. But I thought it was a pretty interesting story and kind of scary. But now I'm going to tell you a little bit of my own personal experience. Now, just right off the bat, just to be honest, I didn't see anything, but I sure as hell heard some weird shit out in the woods. That's for sure. So this was, I want to say, around 1992 or so. Me and my two brothers, we used to go hunting regularly. And I remember that this was the fall of, I want to say, 1992, 1991. Anywhere between 1991 and 1993, I don't remember exactly. We went to this place. It's renamed now. It was a wildlife management area called Wanacue. I can't remember off the top of my head what the new name of that wildlife management area is. We had gone maybe 1 or 2 weeks before opening day of deer season for bow. We had scouted out the place. It looked like it was a good place. So we all decided we would go there and we would see what we can find. So we found a lot of tracks. We found a lot of deer tracks, a lot of droppings. It looked like some pretty good deer activity there. Okay, so here comes opening day of deer season. Me and my brothers got there maybe about 4 or 5 in the morning, still dark out. And we had gone into the woods in the early morning, still dark, with our flashlights. We found the spots that we were going to stay. And we were all about maybe 50 yards, 50, 60 yards apart. And I sat down in my spot. We didn't have tree stands. We were just sitting on the ground. And let me tell you something, man. The woods are fucking scary at night. You hear shit and you think you see shit that's not there. It's a really scary place, man. If you've never been in the woods at night without a flashlight, that is one scary ass place. But anyway, about a half hour or so after we had all sat down in our spots, I suddenly realized that the animals were no longer making sounds. It was literally dead silence in the middle of the woods that early in the morning. So I hear what I first thought was perhaps a woodpecker, except it was a very deep banging sound, almost as if like you were to take a baseball bat and hit the trunk of a tree. It was that loud. And I started getting a little nervous. Because the sound was pretty loud, and it was a good 60 to 70 yards away, maybe. And I said, oh, shit. And it kept going. It was like, bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang, bang. I said, that's way too big to be a woodpecker. No woodpecker's going to make a sound that deep. And then suddenly it stopped. And let me tell you, I could not wait for that sun to come up because I was shitting myself. And finally the sun came up and I felt a little better. And the noise had stopped. The animal noises had started again. You could hear some of the birds. You could hear some of the squirrels. You could hear some of the woodpecker, the real woodpeckers. So I felt a little bit more calm. And maybe about an hour after the sun came up, I got up from my spot and I walked towards the area where I thought the noise was coming from. And sure as hell, about 60, 70 yards away, I saw this little patch of these small trees where they've all been bent in half, like broken in half. And you can tell that the breaks in the trees were fresh because they had not turned brown yet. So whatever was making that noise was breaking those trees. And these weren't exactly trees that probably even the strongest of human beings could break with their bare hands. So I literally shit myself. Not literally, figuratively shit myself. And I immediately went over to where my brothers were. Both brothers were dead asleep, couldn't hear a thing, so I was the only one that heard it. Now, again, I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. I definitely heard something. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything after I originally heard it. And they didn't hear anything. They didn't hear anything. So we did stay until about noon. We didn't see any deer. And we went home. And I kind of just forgot about it after a while. But my brothers did not see anything or hear anything because they were both asleep. And I was wide awake during the whole ordeal. Not that it was an ordeal. It was just something quite frightening, to be honest with you. And something I wouldn't want to experience again. And as much of a Bigfoot aficionado as I am, I never want to see one. Never want to see one. That would be absolutely terrifying to me. Just imagine standing in front of you, or even in close proximity to you, a huge, hulking, ape-like creature that could literally destroy you with its bare hands. What would you do? You would almost not want to shoot it, thinking that it's a human being. If you had a gun, if you were armed, it would just be very odd. But there's there are some stories about these creatures harming human beings. But there are many others that show that they're benevolent. What do you think? You decide. I never want to have a personal experience. I never want to have a face-to-face encounter with a Bigfoot. No, thank you. But that's my little story. But most importantly, I want to hear your stories about Sasquatch or any other type of cryptoid. You can always email me at spatialslipstream@gmail.com. Feel free to tell me your stories. Maybe I'll even read one on the podcast. Or, if it's interesting enough, I may have you on as a guest, which would be even better, because then you'd have the opportunity to tell your story. And of course, if you want to remain anonymous, that'd be fine with me. But join us sometime. Tell your story. Again, email me at spatialslipstream@gmail.com. Anyway, thank you for taking the time to hear my little introduction, my little intro episode, know a little bit more about me. And as time goes on, you'll learn a little bit more about me here and there. I've got some other good stories. I think maybe the next episode, I may touch a little bit on some ghosts and the paranormal. Got plenty of those. And again, if you have any paranormal stories or any interactions with ghosts or things of the other side, again, email me at spatialslipstream@gmail.com. Anyway, thank you again for joining me. Until next time, have a wonderful day, and don't forget to tune in next time. Goodbye.